Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Memorable Monsters is the ultimate 5th edition monster resource. 50 versatile monsters and NPCs for your stories, brought to you by the best-selling authors at Crit Academy. From an ancient, powerful dragon who seeks to subjugate the kingdoms around its lair, to once powerful wizards who flew too close to the sun and are now cursed. Fill your world with unique and memorable creatures that your players will be talking about for years to come. From fun and whimsical to forlorn and intriguing, bring your world to life with these monsters and NPCs. Each monster will include a plethora of examples for weaving them into your campaigns with fully fleshed out detail. Monsters are more than just stat blocks. Help bring this project to life. Become a backer on Kickstarter today and share with your friends on social media.
Hello and welcome, heroes, to the Crit Academy. I am your host, Justin.
I'm your co-host, Austin.
And I'm your co-host, Ian.
This podcast was created to provide you, our heroes, with new and reusable material for both players and DMs.
We hope to inspire you with creative content that you can bring with you on your next adventure.
Our show may not be suitable for young children, but neither is our D&D games.
Which, this Friday, we're going to be playing again.
That's the plan.
Yay!
Are we?
Yeah.
Tweets. It's bad when the DM doesn't. I think we got a game this week. All right, I am really excited for today's episode. We are going to be talking about feats. Unearthed Arcana just released a new collection of them, 16 of them, and while we're not going to cover every single one in detail, we each picked some that we really liked and are going to discuss and focus on, and hopefully you'll check it out. We also have our Unearthed Tips and Tricks, where we bring you new and reusable material for both players and DMs. I'm really, really excited about our, I know it sounds stupid, our encounter of the podcast. I really been having a lot of fun making these, and this one really is a rocky road.
I see one of the monsters, and I immediately see what you mean by good. Good.
That's how I roll. Before we get into it, though, if you enjoy the show or you want to support us, you can visit us at CritAcademy.com and check out our Patreon page, maybe pick up some of our D&D supplements, or just subscribe to our newsletter where you'll be entered to win new prizes that we give away every week, as well as a little gift that I give that I send out. It's my favorite resources that I use when I DM. I do also want to take a minute to announce or mention our Kickstarter that is coming up on August 4th, our Memorable Monsters. I'm super excited for this. You can head on over to CritAcademy.com and click the little Memorable Monsters link, or you can go to our Facebook page and join our group as well.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for this. Monsters are more than just stat blocks, and I think we do a really good job of combining a great story, great personality traits, great flaws, and more importantly, multiple ways to include these creatures into your game that isn't necessarily a villain.
No.
So,
yeah.
And like all three of us and other people have written material so far, and there's definitely some depth to them. Like, I decided to go a little ambitious of a whole group instead of one person in particular.
Which is nice.
It's very cool.
Yep. I still laugh at your reaction when you hit like a picture of like a bunch of like a female warriors. I'm like, I'm doing all these. No, get one. Here's what I'm doing with it. You may have all of them.
I will allow it. But we're really excited. Obviously, we started writing some stuff. We are looking forward to commissioning some really great writers to help us flesh it out if the Kickstarter gets going. So needed some good stuff to get us started so everyone can see some examples. Mm-hmm. And if you head on over to our Memorable Monsters Kickstarter group on Facebook, just type that in. You'll find it. You can actually get a couple of samples right from there. So.
Yep.
Make sure to hit that notification button on the Kickstarter page as well so you know when we go live August 4th.
I just want
to
say the art that you found looks super good, too.
Yeah, that's how I roll.
Super nice.
I'm glad you like it. Crit Nation, we want to thank you for joining us here today at Crit Academy Studios, where everything's made up and your rolls don't matter.
Yep, that's right. Your rolls are like an empty equipment pack.
Yep.
Does that be why you have one?
Yeah. It only appears empty, though, because it's a big hole to nowhere. It holds everything.
So a bag of holding?
Yeah, I was going to say, is it a bag of holding?
It's a bag of scolding, actually.
Yeah, it yells at you every time
you every time you take something out or put something in.
I apologize to her.
Yeah, she appreciates the apology. And she likes
you still do it.
She likes you a little more than others.
It's not a high bar.
All right, for our Let's Talk About Blank segment, I was really excited about this. I saw this over on like a Reddit or a Twitter or something.
Mm-hmm.
It is equipment packs. There's these little printable backpack boxes that you can use to hold monster cards or spell cards.
Huh.
And it really is cool. Ian, do you think you could toss that link into the chats, please?
I can.
So everyone can take a look. Now, normally I'm pretty big on more of the free resources when it comes to our Let's Talk About Blank. This one does cost a few bucks, but I think it's worth it. You get these hand-drawn item cards that are perfect for everything your characters carry in your 5th edition game, especially if you're the type of person that has the little spell cards or if you have the monster cards.
Mm-hmm.
You can also make your own cards for magic items or anything that you're carrying and kind of stuff them in here. And what's cool is they're black and white, and they each are different depending on the type of pack. So the burglar's pack is designed and looks different than, say, the dungeoneer's pack or the scholar's pack. And you can customize them, write your names on them, and color them, and make them your own. And I just thought this was such a neat idea. I see there's only one picture in our notes, but you can see the collection here.
Yeah.
And this kind of reminds me, like, I would buy... Here's what I would do, is I would get the Magic the Gathering boxes and, like, wrap this in them, or you can fold them with like a heavy cardstock and use them as is, which is pretty cool. I thought it was pretty cool. What did you guys think?
Could definitely do some it feels like it adds to the role play too, because then you have to actively take the equipment out and you're like, oh yes, I have this.
Yes, I think so too. And it also reminds you that you have it too. Like, I have no, there's been so many times where people have forgotten what equipment they have in their scholar's pack or in their dungeoneer. The only thing that never seems to get forgotten is that people have a crowbar in their dungeoneer pack. That's the only one I ever see really truly getting. Well, actually, that doesn't go in your pack. That actually attaches to the outside, but you could add that to an inventory piece.
Yep.
The coolest part is if it's something that's consumable, you can pull it out and easily keep track of some of that stuff, like if you do rations or torches or anything.
Rip it in half when you use it.
That's a terrible idea.
Ba-da-ts.
Get it? Terrible. I slay myself. Anyways, I thought this was really cool. The picture I had saw had a DM introduced his players to the game, and he made these for all of them, putting their names on them and custom coloring them with like markers or Sharpies or something. It was pretty dope. But I thought this was a really cool idea, something that really could enhance that role play. And anytime you have something at the table that you can fidget with and keep track of your stuff, I think it's easier for the players to remember what tools they have, because sometimes it's easy to lose stuff on that big sheet.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
At least for me, it is.
And each pack is like different styles, but they're each like $1 each, so.
Yeah.
Well, I guess like £1 each, actually, because it's British currency, but. So, well,
turned out really
it's
good,
like
though.
$2, I guess. But
you get it. I don't know what the conversion rate is. Anyways, that'll do it for our Let's Talk About Blank segment. Before we move on to our main topic, we have a wonderful gift to give away.
Yep. It's by Loresmith, the Modular Dungeon Tiles. Specifically, though, it's the Arcania set. So, the Modular Dungeon Tiles, if you don't already know, are an easy way to create your own beautiful digital maps. The Arcania set, in specific, though, lets you make dark, shadowy dungeon maps rich with the fumes of arcane secrets. Very handy for you to have those explorers and dungeoneering packs, so that whenever you're descending down into these things, maybe you won't fall.
Yeah.
Maybe. not guaranteed. I've seen some DMs where they throw spiders on walls and they
yeah, I'm such
clip
a dick.
Stuff and they people die. But it's okay.
That's okay. You'll also
because
die.
You at least remembered you had your dungeoneering pack.
You weren't in that game though, were you?
Nope. And I'm very happy.
I just ran one with the patrons
I just heard about it, that's
a
all.
Couple weeks ago.
Yep. And I remember hearing about it.
It was interesting. It was fun.
Yeah.
Who's our winner today?
Galarza Nicholas.
Congratulations, Galarza Nicholas. If you didn't win, have no fear. Head on over to critacademy.com/loresmith and be entered and pick up some free digital terrain and some other fat loots from Loresmith.
Yeah.
Our main topic today is the Unearthed Arcana feats. I'm really excited for this. I don't know about anybody else, but I always enjoy reading the new content that's coming out. The one thing
absolutely
that I think Wizards of the Coast has really gotten right with 4th edition is, hey, here's an idea we want to try. Here it is to all the players and DMs. Play it and tell us what works and what doesn't.
You mean 5th edition.
What did I say?
Fourth.
Ah, this is what they did in 5th edition, not what they did in 4th edition, which is the complete opposite. Just assume they knew everything that people wanted and designed it and then said, here you go. Horrible idea. So they've learned from that. So these Unearthed Arcanas, while they are playtest material, are exactly the things you can include to help have an impact
absolutely
on the new content coming out.
Think of it as like a beta test, first off.
Yeah. And so that's why the surveys they release are really important to fill out.
Yes.
So if you do playtest stuff, definitely give your feedback. Even if you don't playtest it, if you just read through it and think of something that's broken or why it's imbalanced, it's really good to give them that feedback. They really benefit from it.
Or maybe something that's underpowered. We want to make sure you hit all the bases if you can.
Yeah.
For sure.
And not just stuff that's all about combat. Like, I did notice there's several things in here that are just aren't about combat, and I think that that's very good direction that Wizards is going. That being said, there are 16 of these new feats that help your character achieve mastery in one of their capabilities or discovering the ability to do something completely new. Just a reminder, it is playtest material, so you may end up running into like an imbalance, but...
Yeah. Actually, kind of on that note, I'm actually surprised you didn't pick Chef for today just because of Brick.
I did. I was very close, and we can still talk about it. The reason I had us each pick one is so we can shorten up the show a little bit and not but we are going to touch on each one.
Yeah.
The first one that they that we picked, Ian, do you want us to tell about your the
he's
tandem
at the very end.
And tactician feat?
Yep. Tandem tactician. Your presence in the scrap tends to elevate your comrades. You gain the following benefits. You can use the help action as a bonus action.
What?
Very,
that sounds
very
familiar.
Good.
But wait, there's more. When you use the help action to an ally in attacking a creature, increase the range by 10 feet, and you can help two allies targeting the same creature within range when you use the help action in this way.
Now, first of all, why don't you tell us what you like about this? Do you think it's balanced? Would you change anything about it?
Well, I think for one thing it does is, let's be real here, how many times have you actually seen the help action used in combat by a player character?
That's not me, you mean?
I said how often.
I use it a lot, but I see his point. Nobody else does.
I think the only time I've really seen you use it was when you had your animal companion who used the help action for you as your bonus action.
That counts. I'm counting that.
I'll count it.
No, I'm counting that.
I can count
I'm
it.
Not, because it's an action. Which is it.
I got you.
Yeah.
Stomp on my playstyle. I see how it is. So, yeah, I think you make some good points. The fact that it's ranged is pretty nice. This actually sounds pretty familiar, isn't it?
To the mastermind.
The mastermind
right?
can do yep. this. Now,
this also means you don't have to invest 3 levels into it now.
Yes.
Which is a very big thing.
Especially if you want to play a more support-style class.
Mm-hmm. And for those who don't remember, help grants advantage to other players.
Yes.
Yes.
Chuckles, actually, I agree with Chuckles. He says, I like how these feats are letting you get partial stuff from classes without having to multiclass. That's
yeah.
actually some of my favorite feats in the Player's Handbook are feats like the Martial Adept, the Magic Initiate, stuff that gives you class features from classes that they other players can use.
And there's stuff in here that does it for like the sorcerer and the artificer.
Yep, and we are going to talk about those, just not mm-hmm. quite as in depth as we
yeah,
are.
Yeah, I'm
just
giving broad strokes.
So, do you have any problems with this feature?
I could see it being potentially broken because you're tossing out a lot of advantages.
Yes, I think that it shouldn't you shouldn't be able to help two allies. I think that's too much.
Yeah.
Because now it's starting to overshadow the Mastermind's core feature.
The only thing about that, though, for a counterpoint, is that it has to be the same attacking creature. It has to be. If it's not, then you don't grant advantage with them. You have to choose one or the other.
So you're right. There is a condition in there, and it's still limited by 10 feet, but man.
I do agree, though, because a little bit, because I can imagine the big bad evil guy, which is cool, because in one aspect, you have the guy who's, you know, sitting back and just kind of like, you know, the tactician of the group, literally.
Right.
And he's telling these two, you know, like fighter paladin, kind of like, hey, you guys swing.
You
top
go high, and, you go low.
Yeah, you go high, you go low. And it's like, oh, we didn't think of that. And then they do it.
I can actually see this helping out some of archetypes out there, like the Purple Knight archetype, yep. for example, which is supposed to be a support fighter, which does okay, but not great.
Not this, as good as it should.
But if you add this to it, that would add a little bit more mileage.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. Once again, I do like that the help is only 10 feet because that still lets the Mastermind shine. In my opinion, I think helping two allies is too much, even if it is targeting the same creature.
Chuckles does give a pretty good suggestion. Like
as
maybe
a bonus action.
Maybe let them do it a certain amount of times equal to their proficiency bonus per short or long rest.
Ooh, so you can limit its usage.
Or just make it so you can use the help action as a bonus action at range and just remove the helping two allies at once. I think that might be the best course, because you still gain what you want out of it. It's just not, because that's the broken part, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, and I'm not even saying it's broken. If you were to leave in strong. The two allies, I would say if you take the help action, you may use an action to help two allies.
So you still have to use your action I like
to help help two allies, but that still leaves you your bonus action. So can you take the help again, and does that make it worse? Because now is that technically you can help three people? God, that's not helping at all.
No.
I would remove the
additionally help too, because you can still take the action, the regular help action.
Yep.
And then can you do it as a bonus action, or can you only do it one way?
No, because you can use them both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you would be able to use both. So they're
just
a way to help
too. Range. So they're still there. Because, like, imagine a scenario where you got two level 20 fighters, so they have four attacks, mm-hmm. and now they both have advantage on all of their attacks, and all you're saying is just get them.
Yes. Yeah. So I think.
And one
that
just happens to be a champion fighter, so
now,
he's broken.
I think this could be a lot of fun from the roleplay's perspective if the character really wants to get into it. Like, I could totally see my stupid ass showing up with, like, a monocle and, like, some measurement equipment and just holding it out as I'm like, yes, you're going to want to attack at a 30 degree angle and upward left hand slant, Mr. Barbarian, sir. That is his weakest point, I assure you. Oh my, look at this.
Or like he pulls out like 17 books and it's just like towers them next to him and he's pulling them out and it's all just battle tactics.
Ah, kobolds, yes. Go low.
That's the only direction to go with kobolds.
Giants, hit him in the nads. I've heard that works. Puts it right back on top.
So I think that's kind of all that I want to talk about on that. I do think that this is one of my favorites. Because I love anything that helps a player play a support class, a support build, because that's mm-hmm. what I like to do, is play a support. What I think makes this really cool is I imagine combining it with a bard and his bardic inspiration, because now you give him advantage plus a die to roll on top of it,
yeah,
and
that could
you
be really
significantly
good.
Increase the group's odds of success. So anything else on the tandem tactician?
Nothing that we have already said.
Yeah.
All right. Austin, would you like to tell us about the one you chose?
Sure. So we got to go right back up here real quick.
Yeah, I'm
back to the beginning.
I went to him first, and he was the very last person on the list.
So Fae Touched is cool because it allows you to almost be an elf without being an elf.
Although, to be fair, there are other Fae creatures that aren't just elves.
That's true. But, like, that's the idea.
No.
Your exposure to the Feywild, or one of its denizens, has left a magical mark on you, which I like that a lot. You gain the following benefits. Increase your intelligence, wisdom, or charisma score by 1 to a maximum of 20. You'll learn the Misty Step spell and one first level spell of your choice. The first level spell must be from the Divination or Enchantment School of Magic. You can cast each of these spells without expending a spell slot. Once you cast either of these spells in this way, you can't cast that spell in this way until you finish a long rest. You can also cast these spells using spell slots you have of the appropriate level. The spell's spellcasting ability is the ability increased by this feat, so you can make it Charisma or Wisdom or Intelligence, doesn't really matter.
Alright, and just so we're clear, Divination does include stuff like Hunter's Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Really? I didn't know that.
I just looked up Divination spells, so... Oh. And you went Enchantment, didn't
yeah,
you?
I went to Enchantment. So, I was like, so what are all the spells here? So
now, they do have to be first level, but...
Still, there's a lot there's you a can lot do at first level. Level spells. So, well...
Detect Magic, Detect Good and Evil, Comprehend Languages.
It's a good one.
How about Bane and Bless?
Bane and Bless is also really, really good.
Those are probably some of my favorites. And then, of course, you have Dissonant Whispers, Tasha's Hideous Laughter.
Hex.
lots of good stuff in there. So
Sleep is first level, apparently.
Yeah, it is. At early levels, it's great. Beyond that, it's not so great. Ooh. So let's talk about the first thing I love. I love that it includes roleplay mechanic, a mark. You are marked. What is this mark?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of mark would you, fey mark, would you put on your character?
I don't really know what fey marks look like, so I don't actually know.
Or but make it up.
Or it could just be an essence.
Or an essence, yeah. So I was thinking, I don't know, maybe it's...
Your hair blows in the wind, even though there's no wind.
Right. that's okay. A thing.
You like, always maybe smell you like get, flowers.
Maybe when you get angry, the smell of smoke just engulfs the area, even though there's none.
Okay, I can see that. I was thinking, for some reason, I was thinking more physical,
emotions,
like
and stuff, right?
A leaf tattoo, or maybe you have pointy ears, but you're not an elf.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Has anybody ever played Guild Wars 2?
No,
I have not.
They have a race of leaf people. Their whole bodies are like green and blue and all these different colors, but their hair is like leaves and shit. And I think that they look awesome. You give me a look of weirdness, but what the hell are they called? They look awesome as hell, and that's totally what I envision. Like, if I'm going to go with a fey mark, I'm going to go freaking as far as I can with that.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to bug me now that I don't know what race this is. Playable races of Tyria. The Silvari. The Silvari. First of all, that's an awesome name.
It is.
And they look dope as hell. How's that look? Can you see that? I got this little, like, green plant vibe going on with, like, vines floating around their bodies. And
definitely looks cooler.
Living cabbage.
Yeah.
But anyways, that the fact that they start with that is pretty awesome to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's focused. You can do whatever you want with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about that next point there, Ian?
Okay, we established you learned Misty Step and one spell level of your choice, and the first level spell must be Divination or an Enchantment. You can cast each of these spells without expending a spell slot, which
My bad, I think he already read that. I was actually asking for your opinion on it. So, I actually thought it was you, but it was actually Austin's. Yeah.
But it does say you can't, once you cast either one of these spells, you can't use it until... You finish a long rest. So.
Which is fine.
But you can use spell slots you have in order to use them.
So that means it gets added to your
It gets added
spell
to your spell list.
List
without actually adding them to your spell list. Yes.
Now, that doesn't usually happen when you acquire something from a feat. Like, I think a Magic Initiate doesn't do that. The fact that it gives you a boost to your Intelligence, Wisdom, or Charisma is huge. Because generally, and this is actually one of the things that I have a problem with some of the features, I think the lesser powerful features should also get the bonus, so it's not as impactful, but I think more powerful ones like this shouldn't include that. Because to me, that's supposed to be an important choice. Picking the two bonus, the bonus to ability stat increase, or taking a feat.
However, these are soft stats.
Yeah.
And I do, because, like, if it was, like, strength or dex or con, that'd be a different story, in my opinion, because those are actively used stats all the time. They usually are always bound to the character.
But these ones only affect certain things.
Yes.
And it's also worth noting, not that I think it matters too much with the spell list, that the spellcasting ability is the ability you increase with its feet, too.
Which I also agree is...
Chuckles.
I like that a lot, in my opinion.
Get touched and always smell like pumpkin spice. and then it goes, dot, dot. parfait. Like a cologne. So I think this is, in my opinion, I think it shouldn't give you access to both divination or enchantment. I think it should give you an action, access to one or the other, because it adds it to your spell list. Okay. If we can, once again, compare it to one that already exists, like Magic Initiate, this is far superior, and you're starting to get into that splat book kind of mechanic where the stuff being offered is just blatantly better than the other stuff.
Which already happens with Xanthar's to a degree.
To a degree, but it isn't as bad as some of the other stuff that's come out. Like in 3.5 or even 4E, the new shit that came out, you just didn't bother looking back. Oh, the stuff was so much better.
And I am pulling up Magic Initiate for comparison's sake.
Okay, and what is... So that one is what? Gives you access to a first level spell and a cantrip, right?
Choose a class, bard, cleric, druid, sorcerer, warlock, or wizard. I wonder if they added this to include the artificer now.
Probably not.
But anyway, you learn two cantrips from that class of spell list. In addition, choose one first level spell from the same list. Using this feat, you can cast a spell once at its lowest level, and you must finish a long rest before you can cast it again in this way. So there's actually no limitation to what school you can choose from.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It just has to be from the class you chose.
The class you choose, which is still kind of a limitation. This one is any of the divination or enchantment spells.
Yeah, but you can also just get two cantrips, so one of them can literally be Eldritch Blast, the best cantrip in the game.
And then the other point on this is those you can only cast once. This gets added to your spell list, and you can reuse. That to me is a huge difference. So, because it specifically says you can use your spell slots to cast this. That does not,
I've been noticing
the ruling
they have
on...
been doing that kind of stuff with newer stuff, though.
Yeah, but obviously, though, you don't get the extra two cantrips either, so.
Yeah.
That's
true.
You
get Misty Step.
You're getting two first level spells, though.
Yeah.
And arguably, Misty Step is, bar none, probably one of the best first level spells you can get.
It's not even a first level, it's a second level.
And is it really?
Yeah.
Well, definitely. There you go. So.
And depending on which two cantrips you grab with your character, with how you built it, those two cantrips can go quite a long way.
Absolutely.
I can totally see myself building a teleport battler with this. Picking up Fae Touch that gives you Misty Step, as well as getting the racial trait that lets you Misty Step, right?
Yeah.
For free. So I definitely would love to make like a teleporting spellblade with this.
Can you get... be an elf and then just get fae touched.
I don't see why not.
That's so
maybe a half elf.
Weird to me.
Well, but keep in mind, once again, there are more than one types of fae. So
yeah, that's true.
I'm an elf who was touched growing up.
They all look at you like, "Are you fucking okay, dude? What's wrong with you?"
All right. Anyway, so do we have anything else on this? I think this is good. Once again, I think this is a good example of one that's starting to creep into the power splat book stuff. Mm-hmm. I would either restrict the enchantment more or get rid of the bonus to stats. I think that needs to go out of most spell feats personally anyway. Because it makes that ability stat increase not as a big a deal, personally. So, all right.
I still want to say that it does only increase the soft stats, but that's up for debate anyway. But
No, it's not. I think I see where you're going with that. But those soft stats also buff the most important feature, which is spell save and spell attack.
Yeah.
So,
but it wouldn't help you if you were doing this in terms of like. Being a melee character is what I'm kind of getting at. So, like, if you're playing... Well, I guess if you're playing a paladin, then, yeah, you just say charisma and you just get fucking huge, but if you were playing, like, a fighter or, like, a barbarian... Now, cool, you're a teleporting fighter and or barbarian.
Could increase saves, though.
Could increase saves. I guess I didn't really think of that.
So,
yeah.
I don't know. So, I kind of understand
where
you're...
It does get to say that, yeah, it is still shaky, and
because
I
to me, that's supposed to be a clearly defined split. I get the stat increases, and I get these benefits. Higher attack power, higher, you know...
Honestly, if I were to...
Saves?
If I were to keep the ability stat increase, I would either remove Misty Step or remove the first level spell. I would remove one of them, because that in itself is already good. You know what I mean?
I would agree.
So
especially
maybe
since
you
can continue to use it and it gets added to your spell list.
Yeah. If you had to like pick and choose only one of those... That I could see, because then it doesn't feel as strong, right? You gain one spell.
Yeah.
Now, granted, if you choose the first level spell, you could choose from a big list, but you only get one spell.
Yeah, so if you kept the intelligence, you're saying just get rid of one of the first level spell. So you get the bonus and the Misty Step, and that's it?
Yeah.
I can see that.
See, because then it makes it so that when you do go for the ability score improvement or not, because like, there are certain feats in here that are constantly working, right?
Yes.
And then there's this one, it's like, well...
Sometimes.
Right, exactly. There's a resource still
attached. That Misty Step sometimes, though, is can save your
ass. Save your life, yeah, I agree.
So I remember, who was it? One of my friends, Matt, too, where I'm all about grappling and all these sorts of tying up and all this stuff, and then just poof out of it. I'm like, fuck, I forgot he had that.
But you still made him waste it. That's
it is a resource consume, sure. All right, I think we'll move on to the Poisoner Kit, which is my pick. You can prepare and deliver deadly poisons, gaining the following benefits. When you make a damage roll, you ignore resistance to poison damage. Okay, that's interesting. What if I'm a dwarf? Well, then you probably might not take this, I guess. Who knows? You can coat a weapon in poison as a bonus action instead of an action. I don't like that, and I'm going to tell you why in a minute. You gain proficiency with the Poisoner's Kit if you don't already have it. With 1 hour work using the Poison's Kit and expending 50 gold pieces worth of materials, you can create a number of doses of potent poison equal to your proficiency bonus. Once applied, the poison retains potency for 1 minute and or until you hit with a weapon. When the weapon coated in poison deals damage, creature has to make a con save, a DC 14, or takes 2d8 poison damage.
And becomes poison until the next turn. Huge.
Now, I'm going to tell you why I picked this, and it's not because I like it. I picked this because the only thing that the thief has going for it is it's the only class and archetype that can apply poisons as a bonus action.
Agreed.
The only class. And it's already arguably not used enough.
Agreed.
For that reason. People don't think about that they can use that. This basically just took the thief class and said, well, why should I be a thief class when I can be an assassin and still do what the thief does?
See, I was kind of thinking that too.
So I personally have a big problem with this. I'm cool with, hey, letting them pick up things and make kits for poison, which, by the way, is on the adventures list, so you can just buy it. Now, is it as strong? I don't remember. Can you check how strong that is in the poison in the adventure guidebook?
From what I remember, it's not nearly as strong.
I think this is stronger.
I don't even think it poisons
it does. I don't think it does. I just think it does extra poison damage. So this is definitely... I think this would be a great feat if it didn't use the bonus action.
Okay, Poisoner's Kit. Includes vials, chemicals, and other equipment for the creation of poisons. Proficiency with this kit lets you add your proficiency bonus to the ability checks to make or craft poisons.
Nope, not the poisoner's kit, but the actual poison vial. The thing that's on the adventurer's equipment list. Is there a player's handbook anywhere nearby?
No, I don't think so.
Poison...
But I do get that.
Vial. Basic poison vial.
Yeah, that's the one.
DC 10 constitution save throw.
Very, very weak, right?
Yep.
It's very weak.
Considerably weaker. Holy cow.
For 1d4 poison damage if they fail.
Yes. But... The point I'm trying to make here is that the bonus action, that is the thief's shtick.
Yes.
And the thief doesn't get enough love already. I would remove that altogether out of this, personally. And maybe just make the... How long does it say the poison on the weapon lasts?
Lasts for 1 minute when you apply it.
I would say instead make it last longer. Make it last an hour so they can use it once in combat and poof. That way you're not pulling away from the thief. Mm-hmm. Because that should be the big benefit of the thief. Hey... I can use potion or poisons as a bonus action. Poop, put it on and stab you. Put another one on and stab you.
All right, just as a rebuttal, though, a lot of these feats do give you features from other archetypes, and this kind of does keep in theme with that, too. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Another thing is that the thief can still use anything as a bonus action.
Yes, but still,
literally,
man.
Like, if there's, like, a switch or something, it can just use that as a bonus action, continue running, and stab another guy, and it can do a lot of other stuff.
But once again, this is the one thing that I always thought that gave them a slight edge over other classes.
Mm-hmm.
And over the other rogue archetypes, the Arcana, the Arcane Trickster, and the Assassin, and the Gloomstalker. No, that's a Ranger.
That's a Ranger, yep.
Whatever the other one is, Mastermind, all that stuff. Because poisons come in the DMG, there are like 10 different poisons you can get.
Mm-hmm.
So as a thief, I would be actively trying to get those. And the Poisoner Kit helps with that. So
on the other hand, thieves don't need grappling hooks. They just run up walls.
Okay.
I just thought it was cool.
Yeah, no, you're right. Second story work is cool, but very good. Other classes can do it better. Some can fly.
That's true.
Nobody else can use actions as a bonus action. Up until this point, nobody could use poisons as a bonus action. Now you're just get... Once again, this is just my own opinion, and I think that this needs to be changed because of that.
Counterpoint, they have to lose an ability score improvement for this. Which, granted, this is very good.
Fair enough.
But
that's a good counterpoint. I'll give you that.
An entire... Essentially, you lose an entire stat increase if you choose to do this, which
yes,
for certain classes, that can be pretty big, although for rogues, they get like 5 or 6 ability score increases, so they can kind of forego it. So,
But remember, this talks about the a poison that you get as part of the poisoner feat, the stronger poison. That definitely
is
nice.
It's pretty hard to,
At higher levels, you should be able to easily get a hold of higher level poisons. Fight a drow, you should be able to write. I think we just had an example, didn't we? Didn't we just have an encounter that I made that was about the drow and shit hunting down items for potions or poisons or something?
We did, yep.
That stuff should already be in the game. So that is just my beef with this. Once again, if you remove the bonus action instead of an action and made the poison on the weapon last a little longer but still only be one hit, I think it would be something they could use when they get into combat. Mm-hmm. First hit and get a bonus and then that's it.
Well, ideally, I guess you could just prepare it for combat, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Or like, prepare it beforehand. Before
yeah, and if you make it last longer, like it'll stay on the weapon for like an hour, you can get ready to go in and you'll get that initial burst, but won't outshine the few thieves that do exist.
Yeah. It's also weird that it only lasts a minute, to be honest.
Well, I think in one of the books I read, it suggests that the poison dries up after
amount. That makes sense.
But that I think that just keeps in with it, but... Anyways, that's my thoughts on this, and I know it's not exactly a positive light.
Like the feat otherwise, though.
Yeah, no.
Very cool.
I'm not arguing that it's not a good feat. I'm arguing that it takes away something important that's really the only thing that the thief has going for it.
I'm trying to think of what other things the thief can do, but really there's not a lot that's immediately...
They can hide really, really well. They can climb buildings.
Get, like, they get
super
stealth. Super
stealth,
yeah.
But anyways, other than that, I do think it is a good feat. I, once again, would maybe consider making some of those changes so it doesn't outshine a class that doesn't get no love.
I can agree to that.
So we're going to shoot through the rest. Do you have another point on this at all, Ian?
No, and let's, since we already mentioned it, Chef.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're just going to go through and give our kind of a overview. We're not going to read what they do. We're just going to say what they do and kind of give our thoughts on what we like about it. So, we don't even need to do that. Let's talk to Chef, and then we'll just let everyone can read the rest of the shit.
Yeah.
All right, so the Chef. I love playing Chefs. I've been playing Brick regularly, as regular as I get. And he's so much fun as a Chef cannibal guy. So the Chef feature really just sounds fantastic. Time and effort spent mastering the culinary art has paid off. You gain the following benefits. You can increase your con or wisdom up to by 1 up to 20. You gain the proficiency in the cook's tools, which is nice. And as part of short rest, you can cook special food, provided that you have ingredients and cooking utensils on hand. You can prepare enough food for a number of creatures equal to 4 plus your proficiency bonus.
That's so many.
Yeah, right? The end of a short rest, any creature who eats the food and spends 1 or more hit dice can gain a number of an extra 1d8 hit points.
That's really good.
And then the last feature you get, with 1 hour of work or when you finish a long rest, you can cook a number of treats equal to your proficiency bonus. These treats last 8 hours after being made. A creature can use a bonus action to eat one of these to gain temporary hit points equal to your proficiency bonus. Now,
you literally tell a character, here's a cookie, and you're literally just going off of a high that you literally were like, I just got a fucking cookie.
That's awesome.
That's beautiful.
They're special brownies.
Yeah.
I am picturing a barbarian or something who has his feet. You guys get into a combat character with a purple worm. He's like, I'm going to eat that.
It's time for some slippery purple stuff. So, first of all, I really like this because I've already been brainstorming an idea of buff food because I'm an idiot and I think of shit like that. I've been playing World of Warcraft and some other RPGs, and you get these foods that give you the different effects.
Absolutely.
So I've been brainstorming some ideas about a buff food. So when I saw this, I was just like, this is awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
Now, my character was a chef. He was a ranger.
He was a cannibal, but
he was
a chef.
A ranger bard, I think. And his song of rest basically let him cook meals, and then you got the Song of Rest. So this is pretty much that, mm-hmm. right? It lets everyone get a little fuller stomach because, oh, you need good meal for battle. So
I like it.
I think it's cool. You get the utensils. You become proficient, so you can beat a bitch with them. Son of a bitch.
It doesn't even, like, feel broken. It feels fun. It feels good.
It's very support classy, which yeah. I love. I do like that with the hour you can make these little treats and stuff that can buff people, which I think is just awesome. So, did we miss anything about that?
No, I don't think so.
Alrighty, so just really quick.
Fairly cool stuff.
I want to touch on what some of the other ones are. The one thing that most notable to me is there's several that remind me of my weapon perks, which means I know Chris Perkins is listening. I know you're listening to our show. I know you're reading my stuff. I know it, boy. several of these are, in fact, weapon perks, like the Crusher and the Piercer, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
Specialized weapon features that you can get, like the Crusher, when you score a critical hit, that sounds familiar, you deal extra bludgeoning damage as normal, and then the attack rolls against the creature, attack rolls against that creature are made with advantage until the end of your next turn. So there's a temporary buff if you crit beyond just the extra damage. Also, once per turn when you hit a creature, you can knock them back. Up to 5 feet, which I think is really cool. And of course, you get your strength or dex strength bonus. Yeah. So there's several of those that are focused on weapon specific, very much like my weapon perks. Chris, you're welcome. Just saying. I'm glad I can save the day. If you haven't checked out our weapon perks, really cool things like this aren't a feat, but every single person can use them as long as they are proficient with a weapon. Make your weapon choices count.
Good plug.
Thanks.
And it's actually a really good resource. Just look at it, just for a brief moment, and you'll realize, yes, I too want this.
Was there one more you guys wanted to talk about specifically? Just kind of go over briefly.
I do kind of like shield draining, because you can use your shield as a spellcasting focus. That's huge.
I've been doing that already with my clerics. Okay, am I not supposed to do that?
I guess not.
Well... I mean, you can, because you have to use your Holy Symbol, which you can put in your armor, shield, weapons,
yeah.
Lab, yes,
yeah,
so.
But it's still cool.
Yeah. One thing I think is cool is the Practice Expert. For all those players that want to learn new languages and stuff, not only can they learn new tools and new skills and new languages and stuff, but you also get expertise in it, which is cool.
And there's also the fact with shield training, you, well, can also stow or retrieve a shield as a free action.
That's convenient. Doesn't it normally take like a minute? Someone's like, oh, they caught me bare naked, but I'm going to grab my... No, you're not. You can grab it, but you're not going to be able to get it down there and use it effectively.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's a lot of other ones. Like I said, there's 16 in here. We've only talked about a handful of them. I definitely recommend checking it out. Head on over to critacademy.com/post/episode180. And you can get the link there as long as, with our show notes.
Yeah. I think that's our main topic.
Yeah, I think that'll do it for our main topic. Yeah. Before we move on to our Unearth Tips and Tricks segment, let's get it on. We have another gift to give away.
We do! And this giveaway, once again, is Jeff Stevens' Scourge of the Nightingale, Part 1, A Song of Love. A mass menace terrifies the region, raiding villages to fund her devious plans. Unknowingly, the adventurers stumble into her most recent evil scheme, the kidnapping of a famous performer known as Devon Artis. Their mission is to deliver a ransom and collect Devon. Though, as in most cases, not all goes as planned.
Yes. I just want to give huge kudos out to my buddy Chuckles in the chat, who just says Justin just wants to go around calling people airsick lowlanders. I was already doing that when I was playing Brick, wasn't I?
Oh, absolutely.
Because he's from the mountains, and I told you, I ripped right off of Lunamore, Rock, out of Stormlight Archives, man. So who's our winner today?
Our winner today is Drake Storm. And if you didn't win, no problem. Just head to critacademy.com/Jeff Stevens to get Villains and Lairs 3 for free, as well as Encounters on the Severed Seas 3, also for free.
Yeah, and if you like those, make sure to leave a review and consider checking out his other stuff. He's got some pretty fat loots.
He has a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, he does phenomenal work.
And now, what you've all been waiting for. our Unearth Tips and Tricks segment, where we bring you new and reusable material for both players and DMs.
Who came up with this character concept?
Well, that was me.
Well, would you like to tell us about our character concept?
Sure. So our character concept today, which I never do, so this is great fun, is the Android Assassin. First, you gotta start off as a Warforged, which, by the way, this also totally reminded me of one of the memorable monsters that I've done. So this was cool and fun.
Yeah, when I saw Android Assassin, I just thought Dragon Ball 8, 17 and 18 for some reason. Too much Dragon Ball Z.
Could work. First, you start off as an Android, and you gotta class into a Thief Rogue in specific.
I love a thief.
You have to be a Thief Rogue, because... well, it can be a neutral character, doesn't matter, you don't really have to do that, but as simply as that, you have become a bionic assassin. You can now run, jump, and climb pretty much anywhere, and have fun with roleplaying with fun phrases such as exterminate, or die from the words of my master, or just insert your best R2-D2 impression as you cut a person open. You could also say that you are created to take on jobs for your creator, whomever that may be, and every time you leave a room, you say, I'll be back.
When I read this, the first thing that I thought of was all the cool ways you could scale buildings.
Oh, absolutely. You can, like, just be like...
Well, not only that, like Doc Ock. Yeah. These giant tentacles come out your back and just attach and, like, Octopus Man up the sides and shit. I was like, oh, I could do so much with that for roleplay-wise.
I was thinking, like, General Grievous, where he just kind of gets on all fours and goes...
Oh, that's cool, too.
Target acquired. Execute program. .exe.
For all of you, that's good. For all of you, we're well aware Warforged are not robots. This one is. I think this is really cool, and I think because you have the thief feature, the fast hands, you can do all kinds of random shit as a bonus action, like dropping ball bearings. That's a pretty common one. What if, like, a little gate opens out of your ass and just balls come falling out of it? I would have too much fun with that.
Alternatively, you could say you're also, like, really good at, like, hyper efficient.
Yeah.
So, like, you're just like.
Well, there was a movie I saw the trailer for where a guy gets possessed by, like, a supercomputer or something.
Oh, and Upgrade.
And he just, like, whips ass, like.
Which was a good movie that nobody watched.
I didn't see it. I saw the trailer. I was like, I should see that. I never did.
And I didn't think about this when I watched the movie, but one reviewer made a good point of he thought the actor did a great job of basically being a stuntman in combat and kicking butt, but looking panicked at the same time, like, what the crap am I doing?
That kind of reminded me, that happened in Venom, too, when Tom Hardy was being taken over. Like, he was like, oh, I'm whipping people's ass. Ah.
I was amazed how low budget Upgrade was, too. Like, it was like only like $5 million.
Is that not a lot?
It's not.
Movie's not.
Well, I guess by Marvel standards, they spend like $300 million on their photo stuff.
Yeah.
Anyways, Steve has a good point. Go Gadget Stilts.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, both Steve and Chuckle said it.
Oh, did they? Hilarious. I love that stuff. So yeah, this is a great idea. I think it would be a lot of fun. I love the idea of having a doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, and then having like one player that you've agreed to that can translate like in R2-D2, right?
Yeah.
Only one
person
can understand.
Just like sends him messages and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I was wrong. Upgrade was $3 million.
Oh, wow. So,
but, yeah, I think it was a great idea. I think that'll do it for our character concept, the Android Assassin. Good one.
All right. Now, next up on deck, our monster variant, the Goblin Shaman. The origin of this one, for the record, is the Lamia, but we'll get into that in a moment. Goblins, by and large, tend to suck at magic as a stereotype.
Yeah.
And normally...
You racist bastard.
And normally, you would be right. However, every now and then, one doesn't just have good juju flowing through their veins, but they also seem to have an otherworldly connection to nature, almost as if they're an extension of it. They can bring forth that power against enemies, and this gives them special stats among their people, since they are one of the few who seem to be able to wield the power of fire and kabooms.
Kabooms.
And somehow have not blown themselves up. Yet.
That's funny. Oh, that's good. I
like that.
You know why I keep sending these to you? Because you always write good shit. Like, I can do the stat blocks, but the flavor, you hit it out of the park, man.
And I throw in, like, the fire and kabooms, because you have, like, actually, let's get into that. At will, you can use druid crafts. Produce flame,
kaboom,
shillelagh, and three times a day you can use barkskin, entangle, speak with animals, and thunder wave. That's the kaboom.
I see the Badoo, the kaboom.
And once per day, they can use Geass, which is, I don't see used as often as you would think.
Yes, but powerful as it is, wreck some shit. Of course, players absolutely hate when they lose control of their characters.
Yep.
So I can understand why it gets avoided. But what else do we got?
And you know, they also gain sorcery points. 3 of them, actually.
Kaboom twice.
Oh, yeah. It can spend 1 or more sorcery points as a bonus action to gain 1 of the following benefits. Careful spell and quicken spell from the sorcerer's list.
Let's just take a moment to appreciate careful spell that allows you to avoid entangling your allies in thunder, avoiding them with thunder wave, which is complete opposite what you would expect from a goblin with firepower.
Absolutely. And this goblin really did defeat the stereotype.
And careful spell, which avoids allies. That's 1 sorcery point. Quicken spell's 2. So there you go.
Quicken spell means produce flame twice. Or whatever else.
And the feature is also lost because the original one's a Lamia is you reduce the size to small and you remove the Lamia spell list.
Yeah,
you still gain the other their features, which includes poison touch.
Yep. I left that specifically. Wanted to go for that shaman, that nature style vibe. The one thing that I really like about this is this character can play two different or a couple different roles. Most importantly, though, the support role with the Ooka Chaka.
I actually tried to make the Fleet Text rhyme with that song, but I couldn't get
it
to work.
This works really great as a support character because it has Bark Skin, Entangle, and Thunder Wave to keep the area clear. The fact that you can quicken the spells means that it gives them more options and choices in combat.
It'd be really wild for a player character to be walking up to a goblin's like, this one's got like a weird mask on and dances around with like a bone necklace. I don't know, it's really weird. And then next thing you know, it's just blowing up stuff twice. And it's just like, I don't think goblins are able to do that.
That's good. I like that. Overall, this is a fun one. I can't wait to put this out for our patrons and put it on a nice fancy chart. Because it was, I love doing that. I'm getting really good at that. Making some fancy layouts.
Yep.
I want to thank everyone that helps me because I wouldn't have made it that far without any help. Like, when I look back at the old shit and the new shit, and I'm just like, damn, that's like 2 different people making this stuff. All right, so I think that'll do it for our monster variant, the Goblin Shaman. Our encounter of the podcast. You wanted to say Ooka Chaka, didn't you?
I said woohoo.
Ooga Chaka, Ooga, Ooga, Ooga Chaka.
Our encounter of the podcast is a rocky road. See what I did there earlier now? They laughed, but they got it. You didn't know that until just this moment. Now you can go back and laugh at my joke from earlier.
Haha.
I hate you sometimes. All right, so a rocky road. This is an ideal event for traveling between villages or cities, because that's generally where most DMs just hand wave stuff, right?
Yeah.
Fades to black.
Yeah, right. The characters spot a trail of smoke filling the air, surrounding the area in a fog effect. That's the effect you're going to use, right? Make it kind of difficult to see. A large wagon is toppled over on the side of the road. Draft horses, stone statues, petrified by the basilisks. A character can spot the stone horses with a successful DC 17 wisdom perception check. The twang of crossbows and arrows can be heard in the distance. A medicine woman who is an acolyte and 2d4 guards are taking shelter under the wagon, shooting at the basilisks. A character who succeeds a DC 15 nature check and successfully identify the creatures. Now, first the basilisk must be driven off or defeated. The area is full of medium-sized boulders, which make for great cover. The smoke makes for difficult to breathe and every round and see. And every round, each creature must succeed on a constitution saving throw or be poisoned until the end of their turn, as well as potentially be turned to stone. And if they fail 3 of the con saves all at once or in a row, they get levels of exhaustion from inhaling the smoke. This is the first time that it's not the first time that I've actually used an effect like this where a character was like in a burning building and they had to do these con saves before they, you know, ended up choking to death.
And for a quick reminder, a poison creature has disadvantage on all attack rolls and ability checks.
Yes.
Pretty rough stuff.
It is bad. So what's cool about this is the fog should be masking the fact that there's basilisks, right? So a character can't just see it and be like, oh, I turn and blind my eyes. Because also, that's a horrible idea in the middle of combat. But the goal is to make it not as obvious, so when they charge into attack, you at least get one good laser shot in their eyes. What do you guys think about this?
It's interesting. Because, like, it almost makes you not want to just fight these things, and you just kind of just want to, like, say, hey, guys, you should just, like, leave that there, and we need to just go.
Right, and that's one of the points, is it doesn't have to be defeated, just driven. They have to be driven off.
And depending on how you do this encounter, it can come across as a horror movie scene, actually.
Oh, I like that. Like, it's so, like, so smoky, you can't see, you just see shadows dancing around.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like your reverse Predator, if you will.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, so any other points? I think that's probably good.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that'll do it for our encounter of the podcast, A Rocky Road, not the ice cream. Would you like to tell us about our magic item, Austin?
Sure. Our magic item today is the Spell Drinker. It is a staff, and it is rare, and it requires attunement. So you have a bonus to attack and damage rolls made with this magic weapon. When a creature deals damage to you with a ranged spell of first level or higher, you can use a reaction to allow the staff to absorb some of the magical energy charging the staff with power. But not, it is not, it does not become a staff of power. It doesn't do that.
No, it's charging the staff with power, not becoming the staff of power.
Because that would be bad.
That'd be good for the player, bad for the monsters.
Well, there's like your whole, there's a reason why that item has a whole page to itself,
right?
Mm-hmm. A number of arcane runes appear on the staff equal to the spell's level up to a maximum of 3. These charges last for 24 hours before they fade. As a bonus action, you can speak the staff's command word and imbue the weapon with a magical force. The first time you hit with a melee weapon attack until the start of your next turn, your weapon releases a burst of raw magical power during the strike, and the attack deals an extra 2d4 force damage to the target. I wish you could make, like, an AoE effect almost on this.
Who put this in the,
Wasn't me.
Wasn't me.
The thing, because the note was, spell that absorbs magic.
Spell that absorbs magic?
Or staff that absorbs magic. Oh. And it was like one line, I was like, I'm going to need more than that. But I finally got around to
it. I don't feel like it was me, but I could be wrong.
It was me.
But it was it was a lot. I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this, but I'll figure it out.
I kind of want it to have like a 10-foot AoE radius. Like when it hits, it, like, it's like an explosion of raw magical power.
Like Thunderwave?
Kind of, yeah.
I had thought about that.
And like maybe it does like 1d4 force damage or something. That'd be cool.
Andronicus says it's almost like absorb elements. That was definitely part of the inspiration for it. So I really thought this was cool because this is what kind of character do you think would use this?
A monk.
Yes.
Some cool Shaolin monk stuff.
We need
going
some
on.
More monk weapons, man. And this was, I thought, a great Matt monk. Oh, wow, I just realized I didn't actually write what the bonus to the damage was. It's supposed to be a plus one. You have a bonus to attack and damage rolls made with this.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
You have a plus one bonus.
You have a plus one bonus.
There we go.
Up to interpretation.
Yeah, right. This is definitely was designed with a monk in mind, but it's not limited to a monk. A fighter
Absolutely.
Could use it. A paladin can use it for smiting. It's less likely that a... caster would use it, but you could have a caster use it if you wanted to. They would probably not benefit as much as the monk would, who is definitely the target audience for this magic item.
Absolutely.
Although a Bladesinger.
Can they use? They can use simple weapons, can't they?
I believe so.
Yeah.
So you could do it.
Dude, you're going to beat him with a magic tree branch.
Oh,
that's a good one, too. A melee druid. I like that.
Yeah, my only complaint with Shillelagh, though, is it doesn't scale up in levels.
The Shillelagh?
Yeah.
Doesn't it just...
It just becomes a 1d8.
Yeah, but you don't get, like, extra attack or anything, so it's basically 1d8 plus whatever your modifier is, and that's it, right?
That's it.
I can see why that doesn't scale well.
Yeah.
I think that'll do it for our magic item, the Spell Drinker.
Pretty cool.
Our Dungeon Master tip of the podcast is the Unconscious Penalty. Now...
Oh boy.
I'm gonna be honest. I'm gonna get some flack from some DMs, and I'm here's what I'm gonna say. I don't give a fuck.
He doesn't.
For some dungeon masters, the lack of heavy hitting rules can leave the game feeling a bit uneven. Characters can be beat into the ground, making death saves, and a single cured hit point brings them back to full functionality. Now, for some DMs, this doesn't capture the severity of falling in combat. It should. When in reality, an enemy is likely to either attack a down opponent or choke them or something else. But some DMs don't want to go that far. So instead, you can encourage your players to prioritize avoiding being knocked unconscious by just charging right into combat by putting a penalty on dropping to zero hit points. Now, I'm a big fan of exhaustion. So the trauma of a near-death experience and the wounds that are being entered should come into play. In this case, consider enhancing your combat or making it more terrifying, that when a character goes to zero hit points, they get back up, they suffer a level of exhaustion.
Zorax would be in so much shit right now.
Yeah, right?
He'd have like 3 levels right now. It'd be so hard.
But it makes it more terrifying going unconscious that way.
Yeah.
Because when you know that a single sensu bean, no, that's not what they're called. What is the stupid berry?
Good,
yeah,
berry.
The good berry. One of those fully up, get up, and you're good to go after going unconscious. It should be a traumatic experience. You've been hit so hard that you've passed out in the middle of a battle, right?
Yeah.
There should be some sort of penalty to that. Now, I'm not saying this is right for your table. I don't know what your table's right for, but this is definitely gets players away from the mindset of, oh, I'm going to charge in. If I go unconscious, the druid can give me a bean and I'll be fine. I keep saying bean, it's a berry. And I'll be fine.
It's a bean.
Or the cleric can use healing word. I'll be fine. So it makes more sense for me to use my turn to attack instead of dodge or take cover or hide or any other of the actions that make more sense for a creature who would really care for their life. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's also worth pointing out that there are other games that do put penalties if you're not unconscious. Like the second edition for Pathfinder is every time you're knocked unconscious, you basically gain a -1 penalty for each time you've been knocked unconscious.
So it becomes cumulative.
Ow. Yep.
Yeah. That's not nearly as savage as exhaustion.
It adds up, though.
But I bet. Well, it depends on how often. And that's the point. Like, right now, do you think Zorax is more careless because you as a player knows there's no serious detriment to going to zero hit points?
As a player, I would probably keep it in mind more, but the character screams, I'm going in, and either he dies or I die. So that's kind of how I'm like, okay, I'm in the mindset of Zorax. There's 4 devils literally surrounding that bridge.
Yeah.
Well, I can't hide, so I'm going in. And literally you both looked at me like, you're an idiot. And I'm just like, eh.
Oh, you should have seen your face when that bastard picked you up and tried to drop you into the void.
No, that was Matt.
Who was that? Oh, that was the other guy.
That was fine.
No, that was Matt's character.
I blew up a guy.
Got picked up and almost got dropped into the void. It was great.
I went Super Saiyan and blew up a guy in one hit.
Oh, God dang it.
Because you let me. I don't know why you let me.
Well,
you gave me the most powerful moment of all time where I went activated my Azumar ability and grabbed my two-handed longsword. I was like, oh, here we go. And I hit that guy and I went second level Divine Smite and he literally dropped.
Exploded.
You let him get killed in one hit. And I was like, oh. He's dead. And his buddy's looking at him like, oh my god, he's dead.
That's how I roll.
Good.
Anyways, so
definitely put the fight back in our favor, because holy shit, that was hard.
It's worth noting that the reason why I think this is a good idea is because I constantly see in posts in Facebook and Twitter that the game's just not hard enough.
You can
My
make
players
it
get
enough.
All their hit points back and everything back in a long rest, which, by the way, is not true.
And
you only get half your hit dice, and you can only remove one level of exhaustion.
And my kind of point is the game's not hard enough because you're not making it hard enough.
Right.
That's a huge thing. So that
And people forget that. They really do.
I think that's one thing that I don't strive myself on, but I try to make sure that you guys get the 5 or 6 combats per long rest, because that's what the game was built around. And it
I
makes a difference.
I definitely feel it.
Yeah,
I definitely feel it.
Your characters feel it for sure.
I know you've complained numerous times about how like Merle has like busted through many situations.
Yeah,
and curb stomped, but I also don't think you realize how much resources I've blown through to do all that.
I think at the end of the one, and I know we're getting a little off topic because that's how we roll.
Oh, yeah.
But in our ongoing game, I think by the end of it, you guys had to think, should I use my healing, my lay on hands? We might need it later.
Literally, we were getting to the point where it's like, we don't want to start dragging our buddy's like unconscious body around everywhere, because that would be a very bad idea. Because we're fun. In hell, so that's right. Not good. But like, you know, it, and that's why, and this is kudos to you being a DM. That's why I like you being a DM, because you actively like, probably because I've been playing a lot of card games lately. So like Hearthstone, where so if you burn through your opponent's resources, you know you're like, that's the point. You have to like, yeah, they used it, but they used it.
Yep.
That's the idea.
And you want them to use those things and not sit on what ifs and then never use them at the end of
exactly.
the game. You want to be put into a situation to stretch those. I've talked about that in our player tips and our DM tips many times about stretching mm-hmm. and taxing resources mm-hmm. because the game is designed. People like CR ratings instantly become far more dangerous when you get to the final boss and it's just a bunch of weak minions who you were dominating early on, but now you don't have fireballs, you don't have lay on hands, you don't have cure wounds, you don't have healing word. It's just you and your stupid stick. Good luck. Those lobbies become a lot more tough.
And I think that's how come, like, I like playing rogues and fighters so much is because they don't quite have, like, a resource. That it's mostly passives.
Yep.
So they're constantly always on top of their game. Like, sure, they're not as explosive as, like, your paladin.
And that's the point. And I'm glad you touched on that. And
I know we're
derailing too much, but we've got time.
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest advantages the fighter and the rogue and the barbarians are supposed to have over the casters.
Mm-hmm.
Casters can nuke the hell out of shit, but then they deflate when you consume the resources.
Yep.
Warriors don't run out of those resources. They run out of hit dice. The one with the dice might run out, but those recharge on a short rest anyway.
The Battlemaster.
Yeah, the Battlemaster. So,
and eventually they still get one per combat anyway.
Yeah, so anyways, we tangent on a little long for this.
But it needs
what
to
was
be
the,
noted.
What was the DM tip again?
Oh, unconscious penalty.
That'll do it for our Dungeon Master tip, the unconscious penalty. Our player tip of the podcast is...
Don't be a dick!
And you can avoid dickitude by minding your minions. Who came up with this?
That was me.
Okay, do you want to talk about this?
Gladly.
I like this.
Does your character have minions or familiars? Remember them! Be sure to incorporate them not just in gameplay, but in role-playing as well. Have your owl go all Harry Potter and deliver the mail, for example.
Yes. I love it.
Yes. Have your servants transport your stuff, or your butler make tea and even flavor actions and features to incorporate them.
Yes.
For example, when you swap out weapons in the middle of combat, for example, you can have your butler walk up to you with a golf bag full of weapons. Given the fact, sir, that you're dealing with Frey, may I recommend the Cold Iron?
That totally reminds me of, like, every golf flick I've ever seen.
That was the point.
That's I need beautiful.
Sir, I think you should go from the top left with the inslanting right. Jeeves, by George, I think you've got it. I was cracking up when I read this. First of all...
Jeeves! Bring me the measure.
We're going to need to break that. We're going to need to break through that carapace.
Very good, sir.
Bring me the. Bring me the Hulk. And it's just like an oversized hammer. Anyways, I really like this because one thing that I really get a lot of kick out of when I play my wizards is there is a ritual spell that lets you summon an invisible servant. And I get so much use out of that for stupid shit. My book for my spells pops open out of my back and floats in front of me and opens and turns to the page. My character's just standing there.
Yeah.
It just,
he's a badass.
Yeah, like when his coat needs to be on, he just snaps his fingers and his coat and cloak float around and cover him up.
A huge thing that it's a background that I never see is the noble background. But there's a variant of the noble background that's called the knight. And what that can do is it gives you two guys who say, hey, we can put on and off your armor for you.
That's that is so
from.
Cool.
That's
oh, did it?
From.
Really?
Yes. Yeah,
that's awesome.
And that is, they can do all sorts of good stuff like this for you. They can literally go and deliver your mail. They can do that because they're your squires or something.
So,
I don't know, but they're cool. Be a knight.
So knights what do you cool. think happens to a knight who is in battle for hours on end and has to go to the bathroom? What do you think they do?
They just go in their armor.
They go in their armor.
I was going
to
say,
you're going to need some people to clean that shit up.
Actually,
lost.
Oh, and with the Night background, you get three retainers.
Oh, I'm that's sorry. So there was awesome. Three. That's so many people.
Like, also, having somebody take and put off your armor, just that's all they do, would be great and polish it up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So you always look good, and that's kind of the point.
And you can do it with other things, too. Like, I was just mentioning the invisible servant thing, yeah. But having an owl companion or... Like, I used to, when I was running one of my Bladesinger, I think I had a rat named Snitch. Who I just sent him on missions to watch for bad guys and snitch on them so I could go and take care of them.
I always wonder, like, what does the knight do when the three guys are constantly following and he's in, like, battle? Like, do they just, like, kind of sit back and they're yes. like, hey, I hope he comes alive.
They bust out the pawns, man.
Yep.
Yes.
Austin, he's our man. If he can't slay it, no one can. Yay!
I mean, that's probably the case with Zorax. He kind of kills shit really well.
Andronicus says prestidigitation. I have done so many character concepts based around that spell. I gave it to my barbarian as a high elf in Reef, and all he did is make sparkles and noise when he busted into a room like the Hulk. Dun, 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 dun. Okay.
He has his own theme song all the time.
Everywhere he goes.
I love it.
I thought this was a great player tip, Austin or Ian. Ian, you did a great job.
Love it.
I love when I open up my UTT brainstorms and there's shit already there and I don't have to come up with it. I think that'll do it for our player tip of the podcast.
Don't be a dick.
And you can avoid dickitude by minding your minions. Also, for all you DMs out there, giving them retainers is an awesome quest reward.
Yeah.
I never thought about that. I want a retainer. Damn it.
I'll have to work on that.
Fuck.
We'll see what we can make happen. Well, that'll do it for our... cleaning the knight's pants. Yeah, I gotta clean out that shit. Yeah. That'll do it for our episode today. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Please join us on our next episodes. We'll be discussing memorable monsters. We will be going through two of our free samples that we will be giving access to everybody when the Kickstarter launches, so you guys kind of get an idea of what type of monsters we want to make. I also want to talk to you about, not only because it's our product, but what makes these monsters so interesting and how you can better make interesting NPCs and villains and monsters in your stories and campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you have any feedback, other tips and tricks, or topics you would like us to discuss, please send them to us. You can actually email them to us at critacademy@gmail.com, or you can find us on Twitter and Facebook. We're actually kind of regularly on Facebook, so that kind of works out the best.
Yep.
And we're also on, like, Instagram and other...
I'm on Twitter every day.
So, okay, so we still have a guy on Twitter. That's good.
Yeah, I forget that it exists.
That's okay. I just retweet cool shit. That's fine. Also, our Kickstarter launches August 4th.
August 4th. Oh,
that's really right around the corner.
Yeah, it is.
That's so scary to me.
It should be. I'm terrified.
He is.
I am afraid of two things. I'm afraid of it failing, and I'm afraid of it succeeding. I'm afraid of it failing because I put so much damn work into this.
Mm-hmm.
I've put all these samples together. I've done all this work. I mean, there's so much work that goes into this. And then I'm afraid that how much more work it's going to be if it does succeed.
I think worst case scenario, though, even if it does fail, which I don't hope it does.
I don't think it will.
No, I don't think it will either.
We still have plenty of material to work with to do something else with it.
Yeah. Huge shout out to Loresmith. Chris van der Linden has launched 9 successful Kickstarters. That's the main source for his business. And he has met with me time and time again in Zoom meetings, on calls, to make sure that I'm doing the best that I can for this. So I want to say thank you, Chris. I know he doesn't listen to the show. Shame on you. How dare you not have time for us? All right. My spot?
It's his spot, I think.
We hope you enjoyed your experience here at Crit Academy. If you did, you can help others find the show by leaving a, hopefully, 5-star review on iTunes, or your platform of choice. Or just send us a message telling us how much you enjoy the show. We actually do kind of like that, believe it or not.
I do.
He does.
It helps us.
And also be sure to give our material a like and a share.
Yes, please. Invite your friends to our Facebook page. We are so close to 5,000 people. If we can hit 5,000 people, maybe I'll do something special.
And the biggest shameless plug I'm going to give is check out our YouTube page. We are repurposing a lot of our material in like a short little snippets here and there.
Mm-hmm.
You've been doing awesome, Ian. Can I just say that?
Thank you.
I've been very impressed with him lately.
Lately.
Before they were like 2 weeks, 3 weeks apart. Now they're getting really close and they're very regular. Make sure to subscribe to our show at CritAcademy.com. Follow us on twitch.tv/CritAcademy and subscribe on YouTube so we can help you on your future adventures, as well as be entered to win cool prizes each and every single week.
Yeah.
Also, make sure to check out our fellowship members there as well. If you have not checked out The Kind GM on Twitter, please do. The guy's got 10,000 followers for a reason. His blog is fantastic. Also, make sure to check out any of Jeff Stevens' content. That guy is phenomenal. His content that he does is just of the best quality on DM's Guild. So, that'll do it for our show today. I'm your host, Justin.
I'm your co-host, Austin.
And I'm your co-host, Ian. Thanks for listening.
Keep your blades sharp and spells prepared, heroes.
Welcome.
We haven't got that far yet. Don't get ahead of me.
I was making fun of you more than anything.
It's like my day.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.